It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker, linked main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. We're here for you every Sunday from 2 to 5 Eastern, and when that red on air light goes off at 5 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, our red on air light goes on at DaveJanda.com. I do another 4 to 5 video format shows every week at DaveJanda.com. Stop on by, become a member of our Freedom family, sign up for our premium service content and email service. 30 cents a day, $9 a month for priceless content you will get from nowhere else, because I provide content to nowhere else. And my content is based on the sources I've developed over the past 36 years when I was first brought to Washington to work on healthcare policy at the end of the Reagan administration. And the information we provide has a track record of putting folks months and years ahead of the curve. My biggest concern for the new year, and my next guest can tell me if my fear is misplaced, since he is, I believe, one of the top financial experts in our country, if not the world. My biggest concern is that the syndicate is decided to bring our financial system, not just in our country, but the world, down in its own footprint. Much like what happened with the World Trade Center about falling in its own footprint, a controlled demolition, maybe we might think of it as, in September of 2001. My concern is they are in the process of bringing down the financial system, because with that, they actually create more havoc and crisis than our world has ever seen. And they are panicked and they are desperate. And when rats are cornered and desperate, they have no boundaries to how evil their actions truly become. Bill Holter, after having a lengthy career in financial services, retired in 2006, and he moved his family out of the United States. Good timing, since what was coming in 2007. When the dust clears, Bill returned in 2011 and makes his home in the great state of Texas. He joined Miles Franklin, Miles Franklin, M-I-L-E-S, Franklin.com, as an associate writer, and he currently serves as a precious metals broker for Miles Franklin. Bill is one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. His website, great content, Bill Holter, H-O-L-T-E-R, BillHolter.com. And Bill has taken on a title in this past year. He was the partner for years of Jim Sinclair, who was an incredible icon, if you will, in the financial world and in the freedom world. Jim passed away, and he was always known as Mr. Gold. Well, upon Jim's passing, that title, Mr. Gold, has been passed on to, and rightfully so, Bill Holter. It's my honor to welcome back the great Bill Holter to our Operation Freedom show and platform. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you, Dave, for having me back.
So, Bill, is my concern about where the target's going to be in 2025 is a takedown of the financial world as we know it, and in the process, the goal of the people bringing down the financial structure is to create as many destitute victims as possible. Am I off in that assessment?
Well, I think the Bank of England pretty much confirmed your assessment. They announced a week or 2 weeks ago that they will, as of January 1st, no longer comment or name any non-bank financial institutions that they bail out. Well, that leads you to some questions, like, why, if everything's so good, why does anybody need to be bailed out? That's the first one. The second one is, if somebody's insolvent, why can't investors know who's insolvent? So I think they they've told you that 2025 is going to be the year.
And Bill, for years you have told us that the system is living on borrow time. And the reason why, as you've outlined, is because of the debt, D-E-B-T, that has been fabricated and is inherent in the entire system. And since the last time you were on this show, some of those deficit debt numbers have come out again. And for just 2024, the United States ran a federal deficit of $1.83 trillion. The interest cost on servicing the debt is now greater than $1 trillion. For the first time, that interest expense just in the United States is now only in is now just second place behind Social Security, and has jumped ahead of defense spending, which never occurred until this point in time. That our national debt is a total $36 trillion, not including the unfunded mandates that folks believe takes it over $200 trillion. This is the end game, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, well, it's as I've said all along, it's just math. I mean, this year, because interest rates have gone higher and there's been runoff of treasury securities that get renewed at higher rates, the debt service is going to be $1.5 trillion. I mean, compare that to $4.7 trillion is what is taken in tax receipts. So we're above 30% now of what the national income is, if you will. It's above 30% of what's taken in. I mean, what household could survive if they're paying just interest alone 30% of their income? No one could. It's not survivable.
So, Bill, there are a number of people that say, okay, this is all true, Dave, but we have a new administration coming into town, and they are going to push a agenda of significant growth through decreased regulations, of getting a better handle on the energy situation, thereby bringing down prices. We are essentially going to grow out of this deficit debt trap, debt virus that we've contracted. And my contention, Bill, is, well, we might make it a little better by doing that, but you're not going to grow out of $36 trillion in debt plus when you add the unfunded liabilities. Now, is Dave just being negative? Or, in fact, Bill, do you see us growing out of this huge debt virus that we've contracted?
No, it's not possible. They can't grow the economy faster than what the debt growth is. And the debt growth at this point also includes the borrowing money to be able to pay the interest. It's math at this point. And I do want to mention, you've got Vivek and Elon Musk talking about cutting government waste. Mm-hmm. Well, every dollar of government waste that you cut is $1 less of GDP that gets recorded, because every time the government borrows money and spends it, it is part of GDP. Mm-hmm. So if they're going to cut spending, they're going to cut economic growth.
And then we see other countries, right? Other sovereign countries. So we see the emergence and the growth, and not just numbers of countries in the BRICS group, but countries that bring significant assets to the table, right? And now we see China, from just this week, China secretly buying up massive amounts of gold, 10 times more than officially reported. We see the same with, you name it, Russia, gold and silver, India, gold and silver, Turkey, right? So again, to me, Bill, and tell me, you're the expert, but to me, this is an indication, wait a minute, this is a move away from the dollar. This is a move away from that debt-based system of which fiat currency is all based. And in fact, this is a move into hard physical assets, because 5,000 years of history tells us when financial systems, be it no matter where they're based, are coming down, the only really store of value are hard assets such as gold and silver. Is my assessment wrong?
No, that's absolutely correct. And I want to mention, there was an article, and I don't remember who wrote it. It was in the on Zero Hedge, I believe Thursday. And it asked the question, is China buying gold to hedge against the dollar, or are they doing it to blow up the dollar? And I think the answer is both.
Yeah.
But China, they are not going to purposely and overtly blow up the dollar, because that would start a war. What they are doing is they're buying gold, and they understand that it puts pressure on the amount of gold that can be delivered to other buyers. I mean, if they're buying and they're taking delivery, that leaves less available. And obviously, if you've got gold instead of dollars, you've got something that cannot bankrupt, can never become insolvent. It can't renege on its promise. The promise is the fact that it is gold, proving labor, capital, and equipment already used. Whereas treasury bonds, they can either debase the dollar or not pay. So I think what China's very smart in what they're doing. I mean, they've got people, Dave, that obviously know all of this. They're smarter than you. They're smarter than me. They absolutely know that the dollar is going to collapse, and owning gold is really the only way to, or the only thing you can put in your portfolio or on your balance sheet that will expand when the dollar collapses.
So, Bill, let's look at the precious metals markets over the past several weeks. Gold was moving higher significantly, as was silver. And then we had a couple drive-by shootings in the past week and a half, right? Where they just, you know, and they use, well, Powell said that they were not going to cut rates three times next year, just twice. So that's a reason to pummel gold and pummel silver. Bill, what happened with gold and silver in a week and a half, the bringing down the pricing of gold and silver, my assessment, and you're the expert, tell me if I'm wrong, was nothing but pure criminal paper manipulation of markets that are falling apart at the seams, whether they're in London or COMEX, because they're basically paper-based systems. Meanwhile, the flow of hard physical gold and silver is all going east, and the exchanges in the east, in Shanghai, for example, are physical-based systems. And it was nothing more than smoke and mirrors in a way to break sentiment, what they did in the past week and a half to the pricing of gold and silver, and to try to get as many people out of the general public out of those hard assets. Meanwhile, the big boys are accumulating the hard assets. Am I off on that?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they've done for 20 plus years. I mean, you see the smashes, you see what looks like a fishing line on charts, and they do that with paper contracts. Make no mistake, physical gold and physical silver were not sold. People didn't sell their metal. What was sold was paper. And you mentioned, yeah, gold and silver had been, you know, moving up smartly. I mean, gold looked like a tractor in first gear, just grinding higher. Mm-hmm. And they both did get overbought, and they were due for a correction. And these people can read charts as well or better than we can. A correction was due. Powell came out with that statement and bombs away with paper contracts. Interesting, though, they've not been able to really break the charts. Mm-hmm. You've got silver right at the 200-day moving average and gold's well above it. I think you're going to see physical buyers. I think you're already seeing physical buyers coming in and shoring up these levels.
And we always see the, if we look seasonally, we always see gold and silver do well at the end of the year. When you look to 2025, Bill, what are you seeing as far as supply and demand and this potential break of the COMEX market here in the United States, the LBMA market in London, and the and if you will, the even greater emergence of the physical market in Shanghai? What do you see for the coming new year?
Well, obviously the new big buyer in gold for the last couple of years has been central banks. Mm-hmm. And that's put the supply and demand situation into a deficit. Silver has been in a deficit for 4 or 5 years, and it's a way bigger deficit than what they're reporting. I think it's the Silver Institute? Mm-hmm. Pretty much left out the most important demand aspect of silver, and that is solar panels. Solar panels alone are going to use roughly 400 million ounces per year. The Silver Institute doesn't hardly pay attention to that. But yet there's still a deficit based on their numbers. The total world production is 850 to 900 million ounces. So just solar panels alone is what, 40, 45% of what the global production is. So, yeah, I think when you're asking about LBMA and COMEX, I said all along that there would be a failure to deliver. And in my opinion, that failure to deliver, the first one will be silver.
So, Bill, when I surveil the landscape, many people get in touch with me and they say, you know, Dave, you don't really talk about cryptocurrencies, about Bitcoin being a store of value. And the chairman of the Federal Reserve recently came out, Powell, and said that, cryptocurrencies aren't a competitor of the dollar, but they're a competitor of gold and precious metals. And my question is, Bill, I don't buy that. And maybe I'm off, but I don't see that as cryptocurrencies as a competitor to physical gold and physical silver. And the reason is because cryptocurrencies, in my mind, and please correct me, are vapor. There's nothing physical associated with a cryptocurrency.
Right. I liken them to digital air. however, contrary to what you just said, I believe that cryptos were originally created, and there's actually a good paper trail showing that the NSA was behind the creation of Bitcoin. Just like GLD, just like SLV, mm-hmm. were pressure valves to divert money going to physical metal. I think that is what Bitcoin has done. It's a speculation, obviously. Is it a store of value? How could it be a store of value if it is, in fact, digital code? It's digits. It's not, there is nothing to it. It is digital air. Obviously, people can argue with that and argue with me about that. But again, my belief is that it was originally created as a way to take pressure off of funds, trying to get out of dollars, trying to get out of fiat and protect themselves.
Well, that's right. And one of the big selling points about cryptos is, well, they're decentralized. There's no government control. Well, wait a minute. If you look at how cryptos are bought or Bitcoin is bought, you go through a potential intermediary of Tether, which is backed with U.S. Treasuries, which is the government issue debt.
Right.
So right. In other words, you're backing, I mean, in a transitive property, you're backing these cryptos with what you said it wasn't, something that's centralized government that's based on debt. And the other argument, Bill, is, well, they're secure and they're encrypted. Well, now, with the advent of quantum computing that can absolutely blow apart the encryption of these cryptocurrencies, that selling point has been taken away as well. Am I looking at this wrong?
No, you're right. And the story has changed on Bitcoin, I don't know, close to 10 times now. Do you remember when it was going to become the medium of exchange? Everyone was going to pay and accept Bitcoin? Well, right. That didn't happen. Then we were told that it was totally anonymous. Well, no, it's not totally anonymous. And that, like you said, it's safe, it's secure, it cannot be stolen. Well, how is it that the FBI, the IRS, has, if you want to call it, impounded billions of dollars of Bitcoin? How did they get to them? They weren't, you know, that was not supposed to be even possible. So all I'm saying is the story has changed time after time after time. And each time the story turned out to be a fallacy.
Mm-hmm. And Bill, when you serve, and we're speaking with Bill Holter, Bill Holter, HOLTER.com. Bill, when you look at the demand side of the equation, right? So you mentioned the industrial demand side. You've mentioned the central bank sovereign nation side, if you will, for a store of value side. And then there's the public demand side. Where are we on those three sides of the demand equation?
Well, obviously the central bank side has been increasing with gold. The demand side with silver, just because of the vast technological, industrial, medicinal uses. I mean, that's exploded. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the retail side got very soft from, call it, July to September, and then picked up again. But I've seen more sales this year than I have probably more than in the last 10 years combined. And what that tells me, and these aren't big, big sales. I mean, I've had a couple big sales, people looking to buy businesses, but the vast majority are people needing money to live on, to survive. And what that tells me is the money on the street is drying up.
Mm-hmm. And on the supply side, where are we on the supply side?
Supply is certainly ample in both gold and silver. We did have, on the silver side, we did have two-week periods where junk silver got really hard to get, and that's just a function of it hasn't been minted since 1964. But there is ample retail metal available institutional side to try to buy large batches of gold right now is difficult, and that's because you've got central banks competing with each other to buy gold.
And Bill, if I'm Elon Musk and I use a lot of silver in my cars and my rockets, why are I not trying to buy a silver mine?
That's a good question. I would think that that's probably something that you're going to see. You're going to probably see that shortly. But mm-hmm. Understand, for instance, China has done deals throughout Africa, throughout South America, directly with mining companies to source gold and silver supply.
Bill, educate our listeners in our final minute together today on how they can follow you 24/7 and get in touch with you.
You can go to my website, billholter.com. There is a contact icon on the website. If you want to contact me directly, my business email is bholter@proton.me.
Bill Holter, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Bill, you put us all months and years ahead of the curve, a curve that the globalist syndicate does not want us to maneuver, and all they want is for us to hit that financial brick wall. And I thank you, Bill, for providing us that off-ramp with your input and your knowledge base. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker, linked to main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor.